Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.
Now, you're very welcome back to the programme. We are living in uncertain times. Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD, is back with us for the next few weeks to help us find ways to live with the global and local uncertainties that seem to be hitting us from every direction every single morning now. We've been talking about how awe can help us weather the storms, live with uncertainty and more joy and increase our resilience as well. Bring all of those things. Remind us, Paul, you're very welcome back to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac. Thank you.
Remind us what you mean psychologically when you talk about awe.
Yeah. I mean, we were chatting a little bit about this last week and the leading person doing research on awe around the world is a guy called Kettler, and he's a psychologist, professor of psychology in Berkeley. And he's a lovely description of awe that I find very useful. He says it's about being in the presence of something vast and mysterious that transcends our current understanding of the world. So there's two things there, Cormac. When we're in the presence of something that's vast, that's big, and mysterious, that when we're in that, that something happens where we then transcend how we normally understand ourselves and the world. And that's the kind of, if you like, the modern or the kind of psychological take. Now, but it goes back much, much further. I mean, awe and civilization go back, you know, probably to the beginning of time, it would seem. That throughout the ages, it seems that humans have experienced, and importantly, Cormac, we touched on this last week, they've experienced and they have sought out awe. So they've gone out to find it, if we've a couple of minutes, I want to come back to that. Edmund Burke, the Irish philosopher, he said something in the 1760s, 1768, that awe happens when we encounter something that's powerful, obscure, vast and mysterious. And I like that as a description. And I think, you know, if you're kind of sitting in the kitchen wondering, well, when was the last time I experienced awe? Important to know that awe always has a physical component. So we get the goosebumps, we get a warmth in the chest, we tear up. Something happens physically in the body in the experience of awe. And very often, awe is experienced in nature.
When you look, particularly what comes to mind for me now is on a very clear night in Connemara when I'm back at home and I can look up at the stars, and the stars on a dark sky are so numerous and so bright. You'll never see them like that in Dublin. Yeah. And when you say vast and mysterious, it's certainly beyond my comprehension. And curiosity kicks in straight away.
And actually, Cormac, that's it. So when we're exposed to the night sky, that you can actually see the stars, that our curiosity kicks in. And interestingly, and you can tell me if this is the case, our kind of preoccupation with ourself diminishes.
Yes, yeah.
And we suddenly find ourselves going, actually, I'm connected to something much bigger. And it's funny, Cormac, because I didn't know you were going to say that. But on the way in here, I was thinking, and I was remembering back to a conversation that was had in RTE 20 years ago or more. Nuala Phelan was probably in the last weeks of her life.
With Marion Finucane.
And it was one of those interviews, Cormac, if you remember it, that kind of stopped the nation in its tracks. Nuala Phelan, probably, you know, a week or 10 days later, she died. Herself and Marion had been friends all their lives. So this incredibly brave conversation took place on a Saturday morning and we were all in our kitchens and all stopped and listened to this. And at one point, Marion Finucane says, Nuala, you're coming towards the end, and do you believe in an afterlife? And Nuala, you know, very determined lady, No, Mary, no, I don't. Mary said, there must be something. And she said, Mary, I've been down in the West now for the last number of years. And she said, occasionally I walk down to close the gate at night time. And on a starry night, I look up at the sky and I give it a wink. So that was her experience of awe and vastness.
Why is it important, though? Why, when we're talking about living in a time of uncertainty, why is awe like that important from a psychological point of view? And why is it important, in your opinion, to experience it?
Yeah. So Cormac, when you look at the research around this, and you say, well, hang on, so big deal, but what does awe do for us?
Exactly.
So we are living in an age where we certainly don't need any more narcissism at a local or an international level. So when we experience awe, it's an antidote to narcissism. It's an antidote to that self. It's just what you said. What you said earlier on. It's an antidote to the self preoccupation, because I begin to see myself as something bigger, as something larger, where my concerns aren't the concerns that dominate. So that's number one.
Yeah.
The other reason is that when we experience awe, it takes us to the realm of the possible. What does that mean? It takes us out of certainty. It brings us to a place of curiosity. And often, Cormac, it brings us to a place of curiosity where we don't actually have an awful lot of words to put on that. So we can be, sometimes in our awestruck state, we're wordless. Often, Cormac, why we turn to music, instrumental, or to poetry, to forms of art that indicate we're touching into something much greater than ourselves. Mm. So if I'm talking to you now as a psychologist, I'd be saying what it does, Cormac, is it turns down the internal chatter, right? Because we all have an internal chatter, this conversation that goes on in our own head. For many of us, that's a fairly critical. It's either one or the other. It's either very critical or it's completely narcissistic and I'm the best in the world. But for most of us, thankfully, probably, there's a criticism there.
It brings you out of yourself, you say.
Completely.
So I'm going to throw you a curveball now and redirect me if this is bringing us off the path. Mm. You're describing, as far as I can see it, like the reference to the stars and so on, as a positive thing. Can awe be negative? Mm-hmm. Can it be a sudden or a complex death, for example? Yeah. The vast and mysterious we don't understand.
Yeah. So actually, Cormac, so Keltner is the researcher and the psychologist that I mentioned, and he has these eight avenues or eight ways that we experience awe. And I think this is really interesting. I've been thinking about it over the last few days. One of the ways that he describes we experience awe is through life and death, through the birth of a child, witnessing the birth of a child. Many parents around the world will know that instinct of, oh my God, wow, what's happened? But also, and this is based on research, 2,500 people around the world, 20 different languages and cultures. The other part of that, Cormac, people experience death, awe at death, at the death of someone. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two things that are really important to qualify there. When the death is anticipated, so when we know it's coming, and it's timely. So maybe when someone has reached a certain age, when a death is not anticipated and it's untimely, a young person, forget about all that. Let's not even think about that. Mm. But when there's a timeliness to someone's death, that's the point when we experience awe. So if I can, my father died. I think you know this, Cormac, a little over a year ago. Mm. 86 years of age, been taken incredibly good care of in the last 12 months of his life. And he died, and the three of us were with him on a Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock in May, and the sun was coming up. And it was one of those moments that something enormous left the world. He died, but not everything died. Something stayed alive. Something stayed with us. And it's that kind of mystery, Cormac, when you sit and hold and touch someone that you love, and they leave this planet, they leave this earth, they're gone. But equally, they're not fully gone. So one of the huge big mysteries, Cormac, and people have said this to me, and I know this now in my own life, is that one of the big mysteries in life, one of the big moments of awe in our lives, is that actually we can maintain a relationship with someone who's no longer on the planet. It's different, they're not with us, but we maintain a relationship. And that's mystery, and that's awe.
Yeah. And that's powerful, Paul, as well. And thanks for sharing such a powerful personal story as well. But were you able to see the awe in that moment, do you think, or did it take some time?
I have to say, Cormac, and probably because it was anticipated, we'd known for a few days that Dad was dying. And that allowed us to be, I think, to be quite present with him for a few days. He was unconscious, so it wasn't a cruel ending.
Yeah.
And also the life of a man who, you know, was born in 1936 into, you know, amazing circumstances and had lived this incredibly full life, and then one morning left the world.
Yeah.
And overused, Cormac, but that moment is utterly awesome. And the awesomeness or the mystery that something left that moment, but actually a lot of other things didn't leave at all. So that relationship that I have with him is still it's still alive.
But what's wondrous to me though, and you're describing awe and the importance of awe and living in a time of uncertainty. When you're recounting that personal moment, as you mentioned that the sun was coming up. And I don't know if there's a significance to that. Is it that the sun will always come up?
Well,
or?
You know, I don't know, Cormac, but what I do know, and when, you know, again, you know, looking at the research around this, people experience awe generally with things they can't own. Right. So what do I mean by that? Generally by
best things in life for free.
The things we can't buy, Cormac, you know, the music, poetry, sunrise, sunset, a lake, a 200-year-old oak tree. We experience mystery and awe with things that we can't own. And I think that's really clear. It's really clear in the research, but I actually think people know that. You know, it's that moment of being in, last summer, we were in a camper van and woke up and we were having breakfast and looked around the corner and there was Ben Bulbin. And the sun shining on it.
Well, that is awesome.
And an overused word, Cormac, isn't it? Yeah. But it is awesome.
But I'm half a Sligo man, so I have to say it's awesome, right? And I do know Ben Bulbin, and I've seen it with the sun coming up and going down. So it's one of those classic examples. So one thing, though, is it's very difficult in this modern age, let's say, when you're looking at your smartphone all the time and looking at the feed or a text or capturing the picture or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have tips for people to experience awe and also properly experience awe? Let me underline that.
You know, and we kind of joked a little bit about it, I think, with that idea that, you know, the research around the world, people experience 8 forms of awe and 3,000 people. Not one person mentioned experiencing awe on their telephone.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So that's not where it's going to happen. I think there's a couple of things to bear in mind. One of those is, and this is a finding that came out in the research again and again and again, a thing called moral beauty. So just take a moment on that. People around the world said actually they were awestruck, they were filled with awe in the face of moral beauty. Moral beauty is when we notice someone's courage, their strength, their capacity for kindness and selflessness. That people are that is an awe-inspiring event. We had lots of those, Cormac, during COVID. I think everyone had moments of, oh my God, the kindness of strangers, the kindness of someone I didn't know. That's awe. And there's two more, just if I can just mention, and that were identified. One of those is I think what they described as visual design. What does that mean? That means when we're out in the world and we see something that's designed or shaped in a way that's beautiful. And he extrapolates in this way, says Cormac, actually one of the places that this happens most is in by visiting a museum. So if you were to say to me, come here, Paul, quick fix on awe, how do I get it? What do I do? Say number one, go to a museum on your own. Go to a museum on your own and watch something beautiful in it. Number two, go and find a tree that's a little bit older than you. And for a moment, bring your attention to...
to the tree.
The length
and
of the
all
tree.
Its beauty.
Exactly.
Well, look, I've really enjoyed this conversation, I must say, and people will be able to find it on our Drive Time podcast list. Dr. Paul Dalton, thank you so much indeed for joining us on the programme.